This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. At around 4 o'clock in the afternoon on September the 20th, 1889, the passenger steamer King Ory was heading home to the Isle of Man from Liverpool in bad weather and rough seas. When the ship was about 20 miles from Douglas, the small clutch of passengers braving the elements on the deck spotted something unusual in the distance, about a mile to the south. Word filtered up to the bridge, and the captain ordered the King Ory brought around to investigate. As they drew nearer, they could see it was a small lifeboat, badly damaged, low in the water and barely afloat. In it were two people. A man lying across the stern, unconscious or dead, his head over the gunwale almost in the water. Another man on his feet, the sea almost up to his waist, waving a piece of wood to which was fixed a pair of oilskin trousers. When the King Ory drew alongside, it was clear the first man was either dead or close to it. He was clad in just his underwear, and his body was showing clear signs of exposure. Joseph Neal, a crewman on the steamer, was lowered down to the lifeboat, where he tied a rope around the waist of the standing man and had him lifted onto the King Ory. Then his stricken shipmate followed. He was indeed barely alive, and despite efforts to revive him, he died 10 minutes after the rescue, on a table in the ship's saloon. The second man was taken to the purser's room, wrapped in blankets and given brandy and coffee. When the ship arrived at Douglas, he was taken to hospital where, after a few hours' rest, he was able to tell his story of sole survival. His name was William O'Neill, he said, 43 years old, from County Cork, but living in Liverpool, married with two children. He was a crewman on the Florence, sailing from Garston in Lancashire for Belfast with 240 tons of coal, a crew of 10 and one passenger. At midnight, two nights before he was picked up by the King Ory, O'Neill was on watch with the mate. The weather had turned bad, booming winds and lashing rain, and as the Florence passed close to the Calf of Man, she was being tossed by rough seas. O'Neill went below to trim the lamp in the engine room, but when he returned to the deck, he found the mate looking alarmed, saying the aft cargo hold was filling with water. The ship was in danger. The sea had washed away the tarpaulin and hatches over the rear cargo hold, and water was rushing in. The weight of the water and the coal caused the bulkhead to give way, and the Florence was doomed. The captain was called, arriving on deck to find the situation already grave and the stricken ship heeling over. He gave the order to abandon ship, but there wasn't even time for the crew sleeping below to wake up and make it up to the deck, let alone take to the lifeboats. The only man to make it on deck before the Florence sank was Michael Grace, an able seaman from Dublin, the man who had been found in the boat with O'Neill. He'd been asleep and was wearing just his underwear. O'Neill jumped into the sea from the rigging and was in the water for 15 minutes before he found the upturned lifeboat and hauled himself on top. A few minutes later, Grace appeared alongside him. Neither of them saw anyone else. "The ship," said O'Neill, "went down in barely 5 minutes." The two men managed to remain on top of the upturned boat for 2 days, until, on the morning of the rescue, a wave washed them off, but righted the lifeboat. The men heaved themselves on board and saw the stern post had been knocked out and there was a hole punched in the bottom. But somehow the old tub was just buoyant enough to support the two of them, despite the damage and despite the heavy seas that were washing over them. Grace had held up pretty well considering how exposed he was to the waves and the weather, said O'Neill. He'd still been rowing using a piece of timber as an oar just a few hours before they were picked up, but gave up exhausted and soon slipped into unconsciousness. O'Neill was on the point of giving up himself when he saw the King Ori in the distance, made his makeshift flag and tried to attract its attention. When Michael Grace died in the saloon of the King Ori, it left William O'Neill as the only survivor of the wreck of the Florence. 10 crew members, 1 passenger, only him left to tell their story. Amazingly, this was the 5th time William O'Neill had been shipwrecked. On 2 of those occasions, everyone had survived. But in 1866 he was on a steamer called the Italian, which struck a reef in the Bay of Biscay and sank with the loss of 49 lives. William O'Neill was one of just 6 survivors. Only a year before the Florence went down, he was on a ship in the Bristol Channel that collided with another vessel and went down with the loss of 18 lives. That time, William O'Neill was one of just 4 survivors. It's impossible to know what he felt after the wreck of the Florence, sitting, shivering, in that purser's office, learning that Michael Grace was dead. His 5th shipwreck, and this time he was the only one to make it. He'd still made it, even after 2 days and 2 nights in the ruined remains of a rowing boat, in heavy seas and bad weather, alongside a dying man. Perhaps he felt kind of immortal. Perhaps he just felt wearily bewildered. 5 times the sea had tried to claim him. 5 times he'd escaped. This was his closest shave yet, and he took the hint. Rather than go back to sea, he found a job working on the gates at the Liverpool docks. He could see the sea. He could smell it. He could hear the whistles and foghorns of the ships and the churn of their propellers in the water. Sometimes he'd even see the King Ori steaming in and out, the ship that had saved him, the ship that had pulled him from the water after more than 50 hours in an open, leaking boat. The ship that had made sure that William O'Neill was a sole survivor. That was A Coastal Story, and I'm Charlie Connolly. Next week's episode will be the 50th Coastal Story. I know, bananas. Thanks so much for sticking with it. It's a lot of fun to do. To mark this milestone, I'm putting together a special 2-part story, and I think it's a good one. It covers, well, pretty much most of the world as it happens. Hence it needs 2 goes to do it justice. You can help celebrate by just listening to the 50th episode. Or if you're new to Coastal Stories, you can go back and catch up with the episodes you've missed. They're all killer, no filler. Alternatively, you can show your appreciation by buying the podcast a celebratory pint to mark the occasion. ko-fi.com/coastalstories. That's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. That's the place to do it, and I'll put that link in the show notes to make it even easier to get to the bar and catch the cyber barman's attention. Don't forget we're also on Twitter at Podcast Coastal and on Facebook. Just search for Coastal Stories Podcast. These waves were recorded on the beach at Deal on the afternoon of June the 24th, 2021.